Joshua chapter number 3, starting with verse number 1, it says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. And he and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it, saying, Follow God. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know why, by which ye must go." We're going to keep reading there, but that's that reverence Brother David was talking about earlier. Don't get near to it. Stay behind it. Be reverent unto it. God's house ain't something to play with. The Spirit of God ain't something to toy with. You stay reverent unto it, and you deal as it as if it was your piece of egg in your hand. You walk on eggshells. You walk very gingerly in the presence of God. The Bible says to come boldly before His throne of grace, but we are to do it as humbly as we know how, because we are absolutely nothing. If I fall today, somebody will take my place tomorrow. But God would like to use me if I'll give Him my all. And Joshua said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua spoke unto the priests, saying, "Take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people." And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priest to bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan." Oh, Holy Ghost, help me tonight, I pray, my Father God, as we try to preach just a little while on the brink of the river. We know Moses was a great leader, and we know Joshua, the Bible says, and you can sit down if you want to, but I hope you don't stay there. But the Bible says that Joshua was pretty much number one on the right hand of Moses. You had Aaron, the number one priest. You had Miriam, Moses' sister. And you had the number one in command was Joshua. And Joshua saw all that Moses did. Joshua saw the fact that Moses, a man, said, "I'm going to do whatever God says do. I'm going to preach whatever God says preach." Oh, he saw the plagues. He saw the hand of God. How many today will stand and say, "I've seen the hand of God throughout the years," but yet for some reason they refuse to stand and hold fast. For some reason they refuse to stand up behind the men. But when Moses went up to the mount, Joshua stood beside him. When Moses come down from the mount with the law, Joshua stood beside him. And when it come time and Moses stood up for the people, and God said, "Because of this disobedience, because of this going against me, you will never see the land." Oh, you may have gotten that close. You may have even let the spies smell the goodness of the land. They may have smelled the honey. They may have smelled the cluster of grapes, but you'll never go inside. You'll never be allowed in. All because of failure. All because of disobedience. But one thing I will do, Moses. One thing I will do, I'll let you see across the river. Have you ever been so close to victory, church, that you could see just across the river? Have you ever been so close to the goodness of God that He's let you peer into victory? But for some reason, you did not make it across. Joshua had to stand back and watch as Moses climbed Mount Pisgah. He had to stand back and watch as this great man of God peered across the river, but was not allowed to enter in into the goodness of God. Oh, why is that? There was a time when Moses was the man. There was a time when the rod in Moses' hand flourished, and the people, as they came out of Egypt, they knew who to follow and where to go. And as they got to the Red Sea, they got to the brink of victory, Brother David. They got to the brink of something huge. They start murmuring and complaining. They start turning on God. They start saying, why'd you bring me out to die? A little bit of deliverance, a little taste of freedom, and they think they are somebody. Let me tell you something, one thing tonight, church. I don't think I'm anybody. If I preached from my knees and you saw the Shekinah glory of God, that'd be just fine with me. But for some reason, I can't preach without walking. So we're just going to do it like this. But hopefully, you'll see the hand of God in me and you won't stop at the brink. Joshua said, I've seen all these wondrous works. This is just me talking. Just a Caleb version of the Bible for just a moment. There at the Red Sea, all these people murmuring and complaining. And Joshua's thinking, I've seen the hand of God. This ain't nothing to him. I've seen what God did in Egypt. I've seen God bring us out of Egypt. This ain't nothing to God. I've heard the stories of what God did for Father Abraham. I've heard the stories of what he did for Father Isaac and Father Jacob. Matter of fact, we got Father Jacob's bones right here in the casket. There's no reason for us to be worried. There's no reason. We got Father Joseph. Oh, he was a great man. And he knew how to pray. And he knew how to listen to God. There's no reason we should be standing here at the brink. Oh, but what have you? The children cried out to God the more. Oh, God had to say to Moses, why criest thou unto me? What do you want me to do for you? What do you want from me? He said, why don't you just speak to the children of Israel that they go forward, that they keep on moving. When you get to the brink of the river, when you get to the brink of the Red Sea, my God, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. There's no reason to stand on the cliff and look across. There's no reason to stand on the shoreline and wonder what could have been. You can cross over. You can get into Canaan. You can see your victory. You can get across from the brink of the river. My goodness. Lord Jesus. I've heard two. Matter of fact, I've heard three other preachers tonight. Put them all together and you got my message. It's just fine with me. I told Brother David, I said, if the Holy Ghost didn't explode when Brother Donnie was preaching, then I felt like I was going to be preaching. Because if you put them all together, you're just going to have to hear it again. Oh, but when they gave the holy law, when they were in the desert, oh, they can't do nothing but complain. They've seen the hand of God move, and they still can't do nothing but complain. Oh, I'd rather be in Egypt. Why'd you get saved then? Oh, I'd rather be doing this. Why'd you pray then? Oh, if you'd rather be in sin, then you're already in sin. Go back to where you came from. Let me cross the river. You think about it. The children of Israel multiplied from the family of Joseph to 2 million souls. They multiplied. They were in good graces. Some of them, I imagine, were even governors, princes of the land. But when Moses said, move, well, I reckon I got to go with my people. I sure don't want to leave Egypt, though. This is good money. I sure don't want to leave Egypt. This is good stuff. Let me tell you something, church. The plagues were coming down in Egypt. Your water was already blood. You already had frogs in your bed and your cabinets. You already had lice and locusts and bugs and beetles. You already lost everything you had if you were in Egypt. Oh, the children of Israel found favor. Why did they find favor? Oh, because they were a child of God. Who are the sons of God? Who are the sons of God? They who follow God. Oh, what were they? They were saved. They had the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost. And because of the blood of the Lamb, they were brought out of Egypt. But when they came to the brink, they started complaining and wishing they were back in. If you cross on over, when they got in there to the rock and they saw the water come out, they still complained. When they saw a manna from heaven, they still complained. When they got meat from heaven, they still complained. Oh, they said, I wish I could just turn around. Why'd you bring us out here to die? I want to go back where I was at. This ain't how it was supposed to go in point number one, but let me tell you something, church. There's no such thing as halfway. Jesus said, you're either hot or you're cold. I heard an old preacher say one time, you might say you straddle the fence, but if you want to call it that, then let's use a little illustration. That fence is as thin as a barbed wire fence used to keep cattle in. That top wire, just as flimsy as it can be. You will fall off the fence, and unfortunately, you will fall inside the pasture. That's how it will work. There's no halfway. There's no almost. You ain't gonna almost get to heaven. I've heard people say they did it by the skin of their teeth. I tell you what, Jesus said, many that say, Lord, Lord, shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father. Oh, I've been on this a lot here lately. What's the will of the Father? Well, in this message, it's to get off the brink of the river. Stop staring from the other side and say, God, I'm going to put my foot down on the water and I'm going to cross over. I'm going to make it. I'm going to move. I'm going to go across. I'm tired of sitting in Egypt. Too many times we get a touch from God and we get on that roller coaster ride. I've preached on that before, and we're going to get to there in just a moment about that mountain. But that roller coaster ride, during revival, we get a real good high spiritually and emotionally. Very next week, probably the very first day after revival's over, devil's done bombarded us. Sometimes, let me tell you, little sidebar conversation right here. Everything that goes wrong ain't because of the devil. Everything that goes wrong might be, some of it might be God giving you a test. Some of it might be our own stupidity. Let me tell you, I've gotten a big pile of mess before. What do you call it? I've gotten some big trouble because I didn't listen to God. I've gotten some big trouble because I stepped out of bounds. I've gotten some big trouble because I didn't do what the Lord said do. What am I trying to say? I ain't trying to be vulgar one bit. I ain't trying to be disrespectful one bit. But if you step out of bounds, God will whoop you. God will. He will correct. He will with the rod. He said in his own word, spare the rod, spoil the child. If we're a child of God, we will be corrected. And then for some reason we want to complain. God, why is it like this? Lord, have mercy. Let me get back to my message. God, why is it like this? God, this is bitter water coming from the rock. Well, you didn't have any water. Now you're complaining because you got bitter water. Let me tell you, Jesus hung on the cross for you. He didn't have any. They gave him vinegar. You might want to be happy with your bitter water. Amen. Spiritually, physically, we've got plenty. Most of us over here looking real good for what we got here in America. Go ahead and say it nicely, but for some reason, spiritually, as blessed as we are in America, we are nothing but skin and bones. We don't have any meat. We barely have any milk in our system. For some reason, we just can't get past the river. We just can't get past the fact that it ain't just what we were expecting. God, I didn't expect a river here. God, I didn't expect to come up to this body of water. God, I thought that when I got saved, I got satisfied. No, Joshua went through the camp saying, sanctify yourself. Sanctify yourself. Sanctify yourself. For tomorrow, the Lord will move. For tomorrow, we have revival. For tomorrow, we want God's presence down here. We don't get saved and satisfied. We get saved and sanctified and then continually sanctified. It ain't over when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, for there are fruits of the Spirit that are to be attained. There are gifts of the Spirit that are for us with our names on it. There are many different ministries that can be attained and used. It ain't over until it's over. But until I reach the other side of that river deep and wide, I've got to walk with my eyes open, and I've got to talk like He wants me to talk. I've got to sing. I've got to shout. I've got to praise Him for what He's done for me. Some reason we got so many come to church, sit down on a pew, and read brother sit back and watch, then get in. If the building was on fire, you might get them in a hurry and excited. I've seen people react to the rain with more excitement than they have the house of God. Let me tell you, just so you know, my King James Version Bible and notes are electronic. I don't want them getting wet. But I will tell you that if I run out there, I run in here. If I show excitement out there, you better believe I do it in here. If for any reason at all I'm afraid that the wind's going to take over and I'm going to be shifted out into the yard in all sorts of fashion, you better believe I'm going to let the wind blow me in here. If for any reason I feel like that I need to converse with my earthly father, you better understand that I will converse with my heavenly father. What am I getting at? Inside the church of God is even more sacred and more special and more exciting than anything could ever be outside these walls. God has blessed me with a good job. I work on a normal day, 6:30 to 3, Monday through Friday. Gives me time to get to church anywhere I please, near about it, if I ain't got extra going on. In such a fashion that they even work with me to get off on certain days, as long as I work over to make up for it. As long as I don't abuse it and use it too much. What do I have to do for that? I got to pray. What do I have to do to keep that? I got to pray. Who do I thank because I got that? God. I might have made my resume look decent, but God gave me the opportunity to make my resume look decent. I might have a car out there. The Lord's blessed me with the ability to pay for the car. But He is the one that deserves the credit. It ain't my fingers working to the bone that deserves the credit. I haven't built no house. I haven't done anything. President Obama is correct. I didn't do it. My father did. I didn't do it. My father did. Oh, my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And I believe I own at least one. Because when I cross over that river, I'm going to split Jordan wide. And I'm going to see my mansion. Some people, for some reason, like to stop when they get to the river. I've seen Christians get in a service, and I've even done it myself at times. But they'll get to worshiping God, and they'll get real excited, and things start getting heated up, and they dip their toes in the water, and, ooh, that's too cold for me. I reckon I can sit down. That's too cold for me. Or they get real excited and they get all into it. They get them toes in the water. Ooh, that's too hot for me. that's too hot for me to handle. I can't do that. I can't do that. I'd rather just sit back and just raise my hands every now and then. I'd rather just drive however far you drive to hear a certain preacher preach. Let me tell you, Brother Caleb Howe ain't no better than Brother David Turner. Ain't no better than Brother Smith. Ain't no better than Brother Elks. I'd much rather drive and hear Brother Brian Jenkins than hear myself preach. But when the Lord lays a message on my heart like this right here, I expect somebody has come to church with a suitcase, sat down at the brink of the river, and just like in verse number one, you've decided to lodge there. You come in and you raise your hands and you worship the Lord, or you say you do, but you'd much rather be in the car on the way home. You come in because you're supposed to come to church. Let me tell you something. I don't want to offend nobody here, so I'm going to use my church instead. My church is not big enough to be a social club. If I was going just to see somebody and say, hey, I'd stay home. I expect that y'all feel about the same way. I ain't here to see your face. I'm here to worship my God. Now, after the service is over with, it is good to shake hands and fellowship with good friends. And I appreciate good friends, hallelujah, being in service with us. I appreciate Brother David opening up his pulpit to me and trusting me with the fact that a message from the Lord is going to come out. What I don't appreciate is when we drive to see God move and you get up there in church and all you see is people just looking around all the time. People just looking around. I've been to church. As they get to the front pew and they hear something and they just turn all the way around. They'd rather see something back there than see God up here. But when I get to the brink of the river, I'm going to stick my foot out on Jordan wide and I want to see God move. Thank you. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad y'all pulling with me. I feel like we're going to get somewhere. After they sanctified the place, after they let them know God was going to move, the next thing they did, and I skipped over some things, but I was supposed to be letting y'all know I was going through the Old Testament. Exodus was deliverance. It was salvation. Numbers, Joshua, here in Joshua. But Numbers and Leviticus is part of numbering the people and sanctifying the people, teaching them how to be right in God's eyes. And then you got number three is tested and tried, Numbers and Deuteronomy. They were numbered as a nation, wandering through the hot desert sand. You get to Deuteronomy, I believe it's chapter number 8. God said, you have compassed this mountain long enough. You have been, for some reason, carrying that spiritual luggage around. Just like this. Just like this. Lord, I thank you. I'm in service tonight. Praise the Lord. Good to see y'all. Lord, I thank you. I'm in service tonight. Good to see y'all. You've been dragging it behind you. How long you been dragging it behind you? How long you been dwelling on the past? How long you been dwelling on things, holding on to things, bitterness, grudges, unfortunate events? How long you been holding on to the fact that you ain't got the Holy Ghost? How long have you been living unsanctified? How long have you been claiming salvation, but there ain't no change? You've been dwelling, you've been doing, but you ain't been moving away from the mountain. You've come past that mountain long enough. You've held on to your depression long enough. You've held on to unfortunate events long enough. It's time to turn you northward. It's time to get past it. It's time to get away from the brink of the river. Oh, God. That word has been tested and tried in my life. That word has been life to my body. When I felt like I couldn't go no further. Matter of fact, just a couple weeks ago, I had something I was under. And I told Sister Beth about it, and I was struggling with something. And every time I'd think I'd get the victory over it and know what was going on, it'd come down again. And it was just a weight. It wasn't no sin. It was just a weight that was, it seemed to be besetting me. But it seemed, I got a bunch of spiritual books at the house. And one of them is called Facing Your Giants. And I don't agree one bit with the scriptures that the man uses, but the text, the actual book, is a pretty decent book. But I'd read a chapter in the book that spelled out everything I was going through. Just kind of funny to me how I got to that chapter right then. Then I opened up my Bible, and the scripture I turned to went right along with it. The entire chapter just knocking me over the head, telling me exactly what needed to be done. David said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You might be able to see where you're going around that mountain, but it will end up in destruction. It will cause you to lose the fire and turn cold. But thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Oh God, if you'll direct my path, I'm going to head towards Jordan. Oh God, if you'll direct my path, I'm going to go all the way down. Oh, the word Jordan means to descend, to go down. God, if you'll direct my path, I'm going to keep on moving. I'm going to keep on going. And when I get to the brink of the water, God, don't let me stop. Don't let me not feel your presence, Lord. When I need you the most, I'm going to put my foot out on the water, and you're going to be right there. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. I'm feeling God trying to help somebody tested and tried. Oh, my family wants to stay in Egypt. Oh, my family, they're in the camp. Oh, yeah, I heard them ring out the sound. I heard them sound the alarm. I heard them say, sanctify yourself. I heard them say, tomorrow the Lord was going to move. But my family just don't want to go nowhere. My family just don't want to do it. Let me tell you something, church. When you stand before the throne and your God opens the book and he looks for your name, he's looking for your name and your name alone. He ain't going to be looking for Sister Beth and find Brother Caleb. He ain't going to be looking for Brother Caleb and find Sister Beth. If he's looking for Sister Beth and he don't see her, he ain't seeing nobody else. He's looking for you and you alone. Family waivers or not, I'm getting past the river. You do what you want to do. Hold a little tighter. Tighter to the line. Hold a little tighter to the line. Though the billows may roll and the winds may blow, hold a little tighter to the line. That line's been tested. That line's been tried. Jesus said we'd be fishers. Fishermen use line. The fishermen that caught me with some strong line. And when the winds start to blow, when the ship starts to take on a beating, when I feel like I'm at the brink of giving up and then giving in, when I feel like I've gotten to the water and I can't go no further, I know I got a hand. Oh, shut up. Why don't you hold to God's unchanging hand? Why don't you hold to God's unchanging hand? Build your hopes on things eternal and say, I'm getting away from the brink of the river. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. After they were tested and tried, he gave them reassurance. See, all of this came about because of disobedience. All of this came about because a generation didn't want to serve God. all of this came about. Oh, can you picture in your minds? He said earlier tonight that maybe God was trying to show some people something with the tornadoes. All of this right here in the Bible came about because one generation said we can't go across the river. One generation, they sent out 12 spies and they said, I can smell the honey. They said, I can smell the milk. I can see the giants. I can see the wonderful pasture. I can see across it, but we just can't make it. We just can't go no farther. We just can't go in. Oh, one whole generation lost because somebody didn't obey God. Oh, God. Oh, God. But after all of that, he gave them reassurance of the promise. Reassurance of the promise. In Deuteronomy, the law was reviewed. It was reiterated and closed with the assurance that Israel would possess the land. I don't know everything the Holy Ghost has spoken inside the walls of Highway of Holiness Tabernacle, but I know at Best Road Church in Goldsboro, Holy Ghost has promised revival. And every year, it seems, at least once, during some service, whether it be revival or not, every year he reiterates the fact that if we live for him and forsake all the world, he will send revival. People wonder, where is the promise of his coming? But he reiterates every year, there will be revival. I don't know if this church remembers it or not, but if I ain't badly mistaken, I preached for y'all in Easter, around Easter, and there was a revival coming up in about 2 weeks before I preached. And I remember the message I preached that Sunday morning. I preached that you were on the steps of victory. I preached that there was a man at the pool that just couldn't get down to the water. And now the Lord has given me another message. And I just thought about that, brother. I had completely forgot. But the Lord has given us another message for the church, saying you're on the brink of the river. Oh, God. He's promised souls. He's promised an outpouring. The devil gets mad. The devil fights. Oh, but I want you to understand something, church. When the devil gets on the rampage, it's because God is on the case. When the devil starts fighting every way you turn around, it's because God is already on the move. Oh, he said, and I think it was 1 Chronicles, when thou hearest the going about in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you will know that is the sound of the God that goes before thee. When thou hearest that there's a rustling in the trees, when you hear the breeze, when you feel the wind, the waters will cease, the waters will spread, the waters will part, and there will be revival. Hallelujah. I heard one preacher tell a story. Said he went to this church and he preached revival. Next time he came by, they were in the same place. I think he said two or three revivals, I guess 2 or 3 years. Every time he came, they were in the same place. Said that every night of the revival, he'd preach and it felt like the Lord was going to move and then it just settled down. Kind of like tonight. Get real high and then just settle down. I want you to hold on. I'm getting somewhere. Said that third or fourth night of revival, I believe is what he said. He was preaching in a holy hush come over the congregation. Right there at the end. There's a piano player in that church. Said they hadn't seen the Holy Ghost get on him and shout him in years. Said somebody got up and started singing. I feel the wind. I hear the rain. I don't know the song, but he just said somebody got up and started singing about, I feel the wind, I hear the rain. Said the Holy Ghost come down in that place like a roar. Next thing you know, the piano player is strung out across the church because God Almighty said it's time for you to move away from the brink of the river. Oh, he ain't going to just pull you off. He ain't going to reach down and grab you by the hand and drag you out in the aisle. But if you're tired of sitting at the brink of the river, God Almighty will move upon the waters. He'll part those waters. He'll move for you. Oh, you say, I got a problem. Oh, it's a Jordan River, God. It's just a river. It ain't nothing to God. I got a wall. It's just Jericho. It ain't nothing to God. I got a problem. It's just physical. It ain't nothing to God. It's just financial. It ain't nothing to God. It's just depression. It's just sickness. It's just disease. It ain't nothing to God. My God is able. My God will pull you through. My God will part the waters if you'll let Him. It's time for somebody, whether I'm jumping up and down and screaming or not, to say, God, you split the Red Sea. I need you to split the Jordan. God, I have come and done just as much as I can do in my natural body. God, I've come all the way to the edge of the river. I've come all the way, God. I can't do nothing more. God, I've prayed all I can pray. I've fasted all I can fast. I've sought you all I can seek you, God. I can't do it by myself. God, I'm at a point right now where I've got to see you move. I'm at a point right now, God, I just need you to take over. I just need you to grab the reins. I just need you to part the waters. I'm tired of being on the brink of the river. You're at the point, stand with me if you would. I'm having to cut this short, I feel the Holy Ghost wanting to help somebody. You're at the point just like they were. You can smell the honey. You've seen the milk across the river. But God, that body of water is just too big. Horrible, shit, get up high. Somebody, God is talking to your soul. Oh, God's telling you, I want to move the waters. I want to move the waters. I want to move the waters. Are you tired of being on the brink? Are you tired of that up and down feeling? Are you tired of just walking around that mountain feeling like you can't get over it? Oh, God in heaven, I've done all I can do. Are you ready to pray that prayer? God, oh, this is how I feel right now. God, I can preach again, but I want you to take over. God, I can sing another song, but I want you to take over. God, I can speak in tongues if you want me to, but I want you to take over. I don't want to talk. I don't want to walk. God, I just want you to take over. I want you to move me away from the brink of this river. God, I'm at the end, God. God, I'm at the end. I can't go no further. God, I need you to move. God, I'm not leaving this house without a touch. I'm tired of being on the brink. Church, I ask you, is there somebody, is there one that'll say, I'm tired of being on the brink. I'm ready to move past this river. God bless him. God bless him. Move, God. Move, Holy Ghost. Hold on.